The Hayes Advantage with Kathleen Hayes and Vonnie Quinn. On demand via our Bloomberg Radio Plus app. Free for iPhone and Android devices.
Last night, Apple CEO Tim Cook talked for nearly an hour and a half at the All Things D conference. He talked about Apple's 9 acquisitions this year. He mentioned Google Glass, a major iOS redesign. But is it enough to get investors excited? And what's really coming down the pipe? Well, Apple itself up only about 0.5% today, $2 to $4.43.52 right now. Let's welcome Seth Figgerman, business analyst at the tech-focused website Mashable. He's joining us. Welcome, Seth.
Thank you.
So it feels like, was there really anything we hadn't heard before that we haven't been waiting for? Investors today just going, meh.
You know, it is amazing how little you can say in 81 minutes. That seemed to be the big takeaway from a lot of people after last night's talk. You have to remember that this is the second year in a row that he has kicked off the All Things D event. And the first year, it really felt like more of Tim Cook introducing himself as the permanent CEO of Apple in the post-Steve Jobs era. And a lot of the questions were geared towards that. It was, you know, his thoughts on the Steve Jobs legacy, some forward-looking statements, though again vague. And this year, it was equally vague, but you felt like nothing had happened in the year in between, except bad things. You know, the stock has declined, but in terms of product launches, it's been, you know, more than 6 months now since a major launch. So his vagary just was all that much more frustrating, I think, to listeners, both traders and to consumers.
We're also joined on the line now by Scott Kessler, analyst, covers Apple with S&P Capital IQ. Welcome, Scott. Did you take away anything interesting from the event?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's important to keep in mind that, look, a lot of the information that we're talking about was widely known mm-hmm. in advance of Tim Cook appearing. I think a lot of people anticipated largely exactly what he said or didn't say. But what I think is important to kind of acknowledge here is that notwithstanding, I guess, the vagaries as was referenced, the interesting reality is that the market is down substantially today. Most, if not all, of Apple's peers are down today. And guess what? Up until recently, at least, Apple stock was up. That signals to me that people might be looking forward to good things, perhaps coming as soon as the company's Worldwide Developers Conference starting on June 10th.
Well, what are we hoping to hear from that? You just wonder, it's probably way premature to think that Tim Cook is looking a little bit like a beleaguered CEO. So since you raised that point, let's start with you, Scott, and then go to Seth. What's going to come out of that developers conference that's going to make such a big difference?
Well, I'm not so sure it's going to make a big difference, but I think as Seth referenced, I mean, we haven't seen any major product announcements or introductions for more than a half a year at this point. And all the while, we've seen major competitors actually introducing some pretty interesting and exciting products. So that contrast is something that a lot of folks really almost have never seen before. What I'd say at the Worldwide Developers Conference is kind of what Tim Cook said. He said that they're going to be highlighting updates to their operating systems, both in terms of mobile and in terms of computers. This is something that's specifically highlighted on the WWDC website. But we have been and continue to expect more of an emphasis from the company when it comes to software and services, and it's something that Tim Cook specifically referenced yesterday.
You know, if I could address you, Scott, Apple TV has been out there for a while even. Even this isn't something new. Plus, you know, by the time they actually get it out there and working, don't we have a million different TVs that we can use now from Roku to, you know, the Xbox?
Yeah, I mean, so my take on this is really that, look, a lot of people have been predicting a lot of things from Apple. Clearly, they have a strategy around trying to keep their product plans private from a competitive perspective. And I guess one takeaway from yesterday's talk is that Tim Cook strongly believes that consumers like to be surprised by their announcements. And so that contributes to the way they approach these things. Look, we haven't made any pronouncements, nor have we incorporated the notion of Apple TV of any sort into our projections, largely because how can you know until the product actually is close to being out?
And actually, Tim Cook seems positive on it, but let's listen to one of his comments on that last night.
It continues to be an area of great interest to us. And I do think that the Apple TV product, the relationships that build around it, and the work that we've done technically around it provide a lot more knowledge than we would have had without that product. And frankly, the popularity of it has become much larger than we would have thought.
And that's Tim Cook, Apple CEO at the All Things D conference last night. Kathleen Hayes, Bonnie Quinn, and myself here on the Hayes Advantage Bloomberg Radio with Scott Kessler and Seth Fiegerman from Mashable. Seth, let's turn to you. Apple TV, Bonnie just mentioned all the alternatives, but does an Apple TV product have the Apple halo that you know the consumers are waiting for?
You know, I think it might, but I think what's important here is that we've been hearing rumors of this since, I think, 2009, perhaps even earlier. Each year that goes by, it feels a little bit more of a tired rumor. And, you know, his comments last night, I think if you overlaid them with what he said last year, it would be almost verbatim, word for word, the same wording of, you know, we think that the living room needs, you know, there needs to be a new experience for TV to bring it up to date. And so the same exact thing last year. That doesn't make it any less of a worthwhile product, I think. But I think the attitude people listening to it is, okay, at this point, put up or shut up.
Okay, are people, is anybody starting to question Tim Cook's leadership as CEO, Seth, seriously?
You know, I think you see scattered reports of people saying that he should be, you know, fired or replaced. And I think it's hard to really say that in earnest when you see that they're still having such strong success for the products. I mean, that's why he led off with it, saying 85 million iPhones sold this fiscal year. You know, I think they're still in a very strong position, and he does seem to be keeping the team together. And I think what it all comes back to is that there is a void right now. It has been more than 6 months since the last major product launch, and putting aside the operating system update that we're likely to see next month and perhaps a new introduction, Max, which I've heard rumored, you know, we might go close to a full year without another major, you know, hardware product launch. And in that void,
can I ask both of you about wearables? Because we're hearing more and more about this now, you know, Google Glass is getting so much primetime coverage, and now Apple is referring to Google Glass. I mean, is this really going to be a big business? Not just the wristwatch that may or may not be coming, but other wearables. It feels like there are companies out there that are already making products to allow you wear your iPod or whatever on your arm. Why would this be big business for either Google or Apple?
Yeah, so I mean, my take on this is I think people specifically focused on the technology sector are, I don't know if I want to say obsessed, but they're tremendously focused on the next big thing and the related opportunities flowing therefrom. There's no question that there's a lot of interest around wearables. I think Google has gained a lot of mind share as a result of the excitement generated from the demo at Google I.O. last year with Glass. But as a big kind of financial driver of these companies' businesses, to be frank, and maybe this is a premature statement to make, but I just don't see it.
And Seth?
You know, I think there are, again, scattered reports suggesting that, you know, by 2015-2016, we might see several million units of a Google Glass-like device sold. But I agree. I think, you know, what Cook said in the interview last night is correct. It feels like it's still a niche market, and that might extend to the iWatch, too. I mean, I wear a watch, but most of my friends do not. So the burden there of making it a product that's as widely used as a cell phone, it seems hard to,
you know. Can I ask you guys about the share price? At this point, is Apple a buy? Is it a wait and see? What do you think? Let's start with you, Scott.
Yeah, so we have a strong buy recommendation on the stock. And, you know, it's obviously been frustrating without question to see the stock over $700 to come down to under $400. But it's quietly rebounded nicely. And now, as Seth and I both seem to say, new products are coming. That void is coming to a close, and we think that's going to usher in a period of outperformance.
Seth?
You know, we don't comment on whether to buy or sell stock, but I agree. I think that we're at the end of a dry period, and in the next few months, there will be a lot of exciting announcements. But again, I think the stock price, you know, as of last year, baked into this assumption that we're going to have more breakthrough products. So if all we see in the next few months is, you know, iterations of existing products, then and I'm not sure how much the stock price will balloon from that.
Okay, Scott, quick final question. I just need one word or two. Some of the people had $1,000, they had $1,100 price targets in a year and a half. What do you see?
Yeah, our 12-month target price is $550.
Okay. And both of you, just a headline crossing the NASDAQ, paying $10 million to settle Facebook IPO failure charges by SEC. Scott, $10 million, that a lot?
Let's say goodbye now to Scott Kessler from S&P Capital IQ and Seth Fiegerman, business analyst at Mashable.
The Hayes Advantage, weekdays at 10 a.m. Eastern, in New York on Bloomberg 1130, in Boston on 1200 a.m. and 94.5 FM HD2, or on Sirius and XM Satellite Radio Channel 113. Copyright 2013 Bloomberg LP.